Welcome back to the Steve Gerber Show. It is the weekend edition. Glad to have you along for the conversation. My next guest has done very well for himself in the world of television and as an author. He is the Edgar Award-winning author of the New York Times bestseller, Manhunt, The 12-Day Chase for Lincoln's Killer, and an executive producer of the 2024 Apple TV Plus Manhunt series. James Swanson with me. James, good to have you.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
And you've got a brand new... I find what you do fascinating, by the way, having done a couple of documentaries myself, but you have the ability to really dig deep and to find out the truth about stories and to find historical facts that maybe others missed. And you have a brand new book called The Deerfield Massacre. Tell us what The Deerfield Massacre is and why you found it to be so compelling.
Well, sure. In leap year 1704, hundreds of Indian warriors and their French allies marched 300 miles down from Canada to Deerfield, Massachusetts, a remote frontier outpost. Their mission, kill everyone they could get, and then take the survivors captive on a 300-mile force march to Canada. It was one of the great early American stories of battle and blood and violence and action and adventure, and also patriotism and honor and family, faith, and survival. It's really an unknown story for a remote past. This was 75 years before the American Revolution, and it's
what year was this?
1704.
What was the grievance, I guess, that triggered this attack? And then fill in some of the blanks for us. But where did the fire start?
Well, the fire started when the Indians got into town in the middle of the night and began their attack. And they brought torches and they burned the town down. During their attack, they killed people as they were coming out of their houses. They burned the houses down. People were killed in the cellars from smoke inhalation, from battle in the streets. And so that's how it began. And
But why? Why were the Indians there to destroy Deerfield, Massachusetts?
Well, the backstory is there was a conflict between France and England over the domination of the North American continent. The French had New France, which is Canada today, and the British, the English, had New England, Massachusetts, Maine, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, and the other states. And so there was decades of conflict between the natives and the English colonists over these issues. And so this was not the first attack on Deerfield. In 1675, there was a massacre, the Bloody Brook Massacre, where dozens of Deerfielders were killed by Indians during King Philip's War. Then there was 25 years of violence on the frontier. People would be kidnapped. They would vanish. They would disappear into the forest. And that culminated in the raid on Deerfield in 1704.
All right, so let's play that out a little bit. All right, so middle of the night, small village. How many people live there?
About 300 people.
So not tiny, but, you know, pretty small by today's standards. But by that standard of the day, that's not a bad-sized community, 300 people.
Right.
All of a sudden, the Indians come in. Start burning the place. People, like you said, dying in their basements or under their house from smoke inhalation, being murdered in the streets. How many people survived? How many were put on that forced march back to Canada?
Well, 112 people were taken on the forced march, including their leader, Reverend John Williams. And during that march to Canada, another 20 people were slaughtered along the way by tomahawk or war club. Anyone who couldn't keep up was killed, including Reverend John Williams' own wife, Eunice, who was murdered the next day, the first day of the march. She fell into an icy river, couldn't get up. She had given birth 6 weeks earlier, and she was weak, and so she was killed instantly by a tomahawk strike.
So that was the end of it. So of the 112 that left for Canada, how many made it?
112 minus 20 or so.
All right, so 92, whatever.
Right, exactly.
So... who was left in town? What was the fallout? What did the French do? What did the English do? I've never heard of this story. I've never heard anything about this before. You would think, you know, if there's a forced march of settlers, by which group of Indians, by the way?
It was Hurons, Mohawks, Abnaki, Iroquois of the Mountain, and also some Pecumtuk Indians. So it was a mixed group of tribes, and they had different motives. Some of the tribes wanted to take captives and adopt them to the Indian tribes. Some of them wanted to sell them ransom to the French. So there were different motives involved. The tribes were not subservient to the French. They worked with the French. And so they were really allies of the French. And the French had motives too. They wanted to take captives and exchange them for French prisoners that the English were holding.
It's bizarre. All right, and then who was left behind?
Well, some of the survivors were left behind, but it was
How many? Dangerous.
Probably 60 survivors, but it was so dangerous that they abandoned the town. And Deerfield was left to rot away for a number of years because they were too afraid to come back and live in Deerfield.
Yeah.
And then Reverend Williams and his captives were kept for up to 1,000 days in Canada.
Fascinating. All right, so the battle between New France and New England, culminating with this attack in Deerfield, Massachusetts, 1704. 112 forced march back to Canada. 20 or so didn't make it. What happens next? I mean, what happens to the people of other towns in Massachusetts? What do the French do? What do they respond? How do the people respond?
Well, the people were outraged. They wanted vengeance. They wanted to organize an expedition to attack Canada. They wanted to organize an expedition to rescue the hostages. But that was too dangerous because the Indians had the custom of if rescue attempts were made, then they would kill all the hostages. And so it was decided negotiation was the best way. It took forever. They sent expeditions to negotiate with the French. And all while all this was happening, the Indians were adopting young children into their tribes. The children forgot to speak English. One of John Williams' own children, his seven-year-old daughter, was adopted by the Indians. And she said, "Father, now the French are making me say my prayers in Latin. Will I be harmed?" So he didn't see her much during the captivity, and she slowly was converted to the Indian ways, as happened with many of the children.
And did she ever come back?
No, no. It was heartbreaking for Williams. He could never get her back. He survived for 25 years. He brought most of the people back. He wrote a best-selling book about his experience. It's part thriller and part action-adventure, and then it's the story of their lives in captivity. He returned in great triumph to New England and wrote a book about it, but to his dying day, he longed for his little girl to come home. But she had been adopted to the Indian ways, and she didn't want to come home anymore. She was an Indian now, not an English person.
It is a fascinating story. James Swanson here, Edgar Award-winning author, of Manhunt, the 12-Day Chase for Lincoln's Killer. New book, The Deerfield Massacre, a surprise attack, a forced march, and the fight for survival in early America. How long do we see this one as a movie?
Well, I'm trying to develop it now as a TV series or possibly a film. That's my next project. It's made for the screen because it has so many great early American aspects of patriotism, honor, sacrifice, endurance, and survival. Yes, it's an action-adventure thriller, but it has many other important American themes, too.
Yeah, and it's exactly the kind of thing that people gobble up on streaming services as well. So there's a modern-day financial aspect to it as well that's attractive, James, because this is the sort of story that works and works really well, correct?
I think it does. It has a natural arc because it's the attack, the danger, the surprise, the deaths, the murders, and then the march, and then the captivity, and then the return to Deerfield. Reverend Williams came back to Deerfield and he was a minister for the next 25 years, even though it was still a very dangerous place to live.
So he resurrected the town, in a sense. He did not abandon his town. He came back and planted his flag, if you will.
He did, because he received lucrative offers in Boston and other communities that were now safe from Indian attack. But he went back to the very place where his infant children had been murdered, where his wife had been killed, and he resurrected the town and kept the faith.
What a remarkable story. James, I have to commend you for that. Remarkable story. I hope it makes it to the theater or to a series.
So do I.
Well, I hope. Well, certainly I hope it does. But, you know, I wonder if, you know, showing the natives killing the settlers, if that would be something that they would accept or not accept in today's modern Hollywood. I don't have any idea. James Swanson, Edgar Award-winning author, thank you for being here. It's a great and fascinating story. The book is The Deerfield Massacre, a surprise attack, a forced march, and the fight for survival in early America. Sir, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
What a fascinating story, you know. I'm a pretty good history buff. Never heard of it. Now I've got to go read more. Maybe I had to read that book specifically. I'll take a break. It's the Steve Gruber Show. When we come back, Dr. John Lott will be joining me here on the program talking about the next leader of the United States Senate for the Republicans. Don't go anywhere.